Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
James Bond. He's used to getting what he wants. But this time, he wants revenge. His bad side is a dangerous place to be. Timothy Dalton is James Bond in License to Kill.
Bond then has this awesome bit where he harpoons onto the plane. It's one of those aquaplanes, just about to take off. And he gets on one of the things and then water skis behind it, which is so cool.
Yeah, yeah. Again, this whole sequence is great. There's so many times, I like it where he obviously stabs up the cocaine. So the fish get high as fuck. It's just a brilliant, the whole sequence, the fight by the coral and the hub and the throwing people off the plane. It's just, and there's another good double take from the pilot.
Yes.
Another one of those.
And of course,
I've slightly Scooby-Dooed that up.
One of those fish, of course, that was too close when he did that, went on to going right for SNL. he gets aboard the plane, chucks them both out, and then flies off. And it's a great bit where he looks around and sees he's just full of money, and he starts throwing it around as you would, like ha ha.
Yeah, yeah. And it's nice that even he, it's enough money that even Bond is like, well, looks like we can revisit the stag too.
Yeah, take that, midget police. So he flies off, and meanwhile, he goes back to Felix's house after dark.
Yes.
Retrieves that disc, puts it in the over elaborate computer, and sees that as part of Felix's honeymoon, he was going to meet Pam at a bar.
Yeah, yeah.
Which would have gone down well.
Yeah. The Barrelhead Bar.
The Barrelhead Bar, yeah. And he goes in, he's bought himself a new speedboat, which is nice. And he goes in, and then he meets Pam, and she's like, have you got a gun? And he's like, yeah, and he shows her his tiny Walther PP Gay, and she's got this huge fucking shotgun under the table, and she does that.
Yeah,
I really like. And then Dario,
she is absolutely brilliant in this.
She's amazing.
Role.
She's my favourite Bond girl because she's so not. At no point is she in distress. She's in control of it the whole time. She can handle herself. She flies a plane. She's definitely my favourite.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a nice touch in this where rather than. Like, he orders the drink that she orders.
Yes.
Which is, it's just a nice little thing where, she orders a Budweiser with lime.
Yeah.
Which I've never heard, I've never seen anyone drink that in life.
No.
But this is how you know that Bond has taken what's happened to Felix and Della badly. The fact that James Bond happily drinks a Budweiser with lime. It's a clear indication of some product placement, but it also, I don't think it works quite in the way Budweiser would have hoped, that you don't sort of go, oh, I'm going to try that. You kind of go, fucking hell, James Bond is in severe emotional distress.
Also, he doesn't ever look really happy, does he? Let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Dario turns up with the non-union Mexican equivalent of Kenneth Cope. And sits down.
There's a nice touch that the fact that the Contras kicked him out, that's a nice touch. Mm. Like, this guy's too crazy for the Contras.
Yeah. And then he sits down and does another great line reading, and he goes, Señorita Bouvier.
Yeah.
Which is a bit like Greedo.
Yes. Well, the way, because when he arrives, I'm mentally, even though I'm having now watched this a few times, I know what he's going to say. Each time I just want him to say, give me the key, you fucking cocksuckers.
Oh, yeah. God, that's a fucking hell of a performance in that film.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a weird one. He's a weird one. He likes to put in weird tics to characters he plays. Have you seen him in The Last Jedi?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Where he has this weird stutter. He kind of goes, yeah, and you're like, what?
And it is to the point where sometimes it borders on incomprehensible.
Yeah. I mean, it's particularly in The Usual Suspects.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's really funny. We can't talk about that film anymore. It's double cursed.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got Spacey and Singer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah, I mean, the clue's in the title.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. so, yeah, they sit down with Pam, and the Kenneth Cope guy is just about to reach something, and Bond smacks his head on the table and says, he's had enough.
Yeah.
I love that. And then it just starts, because it's 1989, it starts a giant bar brawl.
Yeah,
where Bond gets attacked with a swordfish.
Yeah, and again, a good comedy look at the spike.
Yes. Yeah, right as he's put in his face. And she blows a hole in the wall, and they go out through that. And it kills the jukebox, which I always enjoyed.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're just about to get in the boat when Dario leans out and shoots Pam twice in the back and looks very pleased with himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's like, as they're going away in the speedboat, she's like, oh, thank God for bulletproof vests. And he says, you're bloody lucky to be alive. And then she tells him to relax, yeah. Which again is a really good trait for a Bond girl. Chill out.
Yeah. Well, it's nice because, again, when he says, you're bloody lucky to be alive, and you want to hear, like, you can talk.
Yeah.
What you did at Felix's stag do, you should have died 9 times over.
I always imagine if he has a medical, it's like that bit in Simpsons where Mr. Burns has got every disease known to man, but they're in perfect balance.
Yeah.
You've got every STD.
Yeah, you go. Everything's this is the, it's the same as your previous medical Bond. 11 types of gonorrhea,
some even yet to be discovered.
Yeah,
yeah. But as they're going along in the boat, it runs out of petrol because it was shot. And she's like, "Oh, I've heard this before."
Yeah,
and he's like, "No."
Is that a reference to an old Bond? Is there an in joke here that?
I don't think so.
Is there like a previous film where something runs out of gas? Maybe I've got that totally wrong.
I think it's just a film trope generally, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Doesn't it happen in Michael Jackson's Thriller? he doesn't turn into a werewolf, though, thankfully. Or a cat wolf, whatever the fuck he is in that. So then they start snogging, and there's a foreshadowing. She blows his horn.
Yes.
Yeah. So then they go to Isthmus, and she says she's coming with him because she knows.
And do we briefly see money? Do we go back to the?
Oh yeah.
I haven't written down because it's not Lois Maxwell. Obviously,
it's Caroline Bliss, who is now like a holistic healer,
which is presumably nominative determinism.
Yeah, yeah. It's lucky her name isn't Caroline Han Shandy. she's made 5 typing errors on this letter alone, Steve. She's not on her job.
Yeah, so M is going to punch her in the kidneys.
She says she's really worried about James, and then he says, he'll go after Sanchez.
And he's alerting his man in Isthmus.
That's right, yeah. And meanwhile, she alerts her man. She asks to be put through to Q branch. So then Bond arrives in Isthmus and he meets that bank manager who looks like Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
And he wants to open a bank account. And the guy's like, oh, well, you can go and speak to the front desk. And then these men start loading in suitcases full of money. And he's like, I have a seat, Mr. Bond.
It's like nice, a case of champagne and fresh flowers every day.
Yeah, and he's tipping everybody. I love this, though. It's a real fucking up yours to Sanchez because he's tipping everybody huge amounts of Sanchez's money, which I really like.
Yeah. It's nice. Well, this is where the Yojimbo stuff really kicks in. And there's the nice touch where Bouvier gets called Kennedy.
Yes.
Which is a...
He tells her to go off and go get some nice clothes. And that's the best double take in the film, is when she comes back in her super sexy business clothes.
Yes, with the haircut, yeah. Mm.
And he looks around and then, what the fuck? He says that down the lens.
Yeah, which is charming, given that he's already banged her at this point as well.
Yeah, so he's, yeah. Well, I did all right there, didn't I?
Yeah.
So Sanchez, meanwhile, is in his room watching Professor Joe Butcher doing his telethon thing.
Yes.
Which, as a child, mystified me. I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, it is one of those where things that makes... Yeah, it makes sense as an adult. I remember thinking I wouldn't have got these references.
No, not at all. I mean, it's still... mildly mystifying now, really. They're trying to get everyone to agree to the new prices.
Yeah.
Because he's got an assistant called Truman Lodge.
Yes. Who is played by the Jimmy from Seinfeld.
Yes, all right, that's right, yeah. Jimmy wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And he's also the main priest in Leslie Nielsen's Repossessed. Yeah.
Well, he does it. It's a really good performance.
Because
there's quite a few different... It's actually... one of my memories of watching it as a kid is there's quite a few different characters to keep up with.
Yeah.
And I remember sort of not quite following exactly who was who.
Hmm.
And now, obviously, it's all perfectly gettable. I just was a 12-year-old fool.
Exactly. But Sanchez asks Loopy about, you know, that stuff with... the wave crests. Do you see anything that happened there about this guy stealing all that money? And she's like, nah, didn't see anything.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh.
Yeah.
And then he gets a call. Sanchez
has got the nice iguana with the necklace on.
Yeah, the diamond necklace.
Yeah, and Lupe doesn't like the iguana.
No, for obvious reasons that she was beaten by one about an hour ago.
Yeah, and also presumably next to the iguana, Sanchez's skin looks okay.
Is that why pirates had parrots?
Yeah.
Well, he gets a call from the casino downstairs that there's a gringo spending a lot of money.
Yeah, there's obviously one editorial pass on the script where they went, let's sprinkle a bit of Spanish.
Yeah.
But only the words we know. So there's gringo. Mm-hmm. And then there's a bit later where Lupe says to Bond, "Are you loco?"
That's right.
And later Sanchez kind of goes, "You got big cojones."
Mm. And then Bond says, "Dos tevatas, por favor."
Yeah. But it really is. It's like someone's like going, "Hey, don't just put balls, put cojones." And I like the idea that someone like he's like goes, "You've got really big cojones." I'm sure there's a friend of mine had read that. There's like a mate of mine at school had like read it somewhere and so called them co-Jones.
A friend of mine used to say superlative.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe when you read them, maybe have a read of them again, see how they sound.
Yeah. Hyperbole was one that scuppered quite a few people.
So he sends Lupe down to go and have a look at this fella. And
because he's obviously Bond has pretended to be shit at blackjack.
Yes, right. Yeah. So he's putting Sanchez's money back in his company now. Yeah. So he's with Pam, and then his dealer hand changed. And he looks up, and it's Lupe, and she's really good at dealing because she used to work there.
And Pam's getting the martinis in at this point, isn't she?
Yeah. Which she
and does a really good. She does the thing where when she's indicating shaken, she just does the wanker sign.
She does. Yeah, she does wank, wank, not stirred.
Yeah.
And then that's a really good bit as well, where Bond says to Lupe, "Take me to Sanchez." And they walk past Pam when she's at the bar. So she downs one of them.
Yeah,
gives that kind of, oh, Jesus Christ face. So yeah. He then goes up to see Sanchez and then says, all your men are shit. I'm a top assassin. Yeah. And he asks him why he's got a gun. And he says, are you a problem? He says, you help people with problems. And he says, a problem solver. And he says, more of a problem eliminator.
Yeah. And there's a real, it's a classic extended laugh.
Yeah.
Because there's that great scene where he says, you need to show a special talent that people here don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bond says, that shouldn't be too difficult.
Yeah, and everyone's like, hey?
Yeah. Well, I really want Truman Lodge at that point to go, the Jimmy feels sad.
But then it's great here because Sanchez is quite impressed and says, I tell you what, I'll hold on to your this, indicating his passport, and then says, and I'll hold your gun because you don't need a gun in Isthmus. It's like, ho-ho. And then he goes, and then as he leaves, he says to Heller, his big American assistant, to look into him. And then they go back to their room and they're told that his uncle has arrived.
Yes.
And that's when you get the good scene where she's got a little gun in her leg.
Yeah,
not like
yeah.
RoboCop, but. And they burst in and knock Q over. He says, I could have bloody killed you.
Yeah, he did, because obviously they're not allowed to swear more, but they lean heavily on bloody with Dalton. Mm. And he delivers it well.
Mm. But he then Q says to him, you know, without Q's branches help, you'd have been dead years ago. And I had some holiday to take, so I thought I'd come out and help you out. Which is very nice of him. And then he opens his briefcase.
You should go, like, you didn't invite me on the stag, you prick.
Yeah. I had to stay at home and help myself out.
Yeah, I could have given you a gadget, a condom, for Christ's sake.
Does it fire bullets? No, it stops them from being fired, to be honest.
Yeah.
Then he shows them all the gadgets he's brought. He's brought an exploding alarm clock, guaranteed to never wake anybody up.
Which, again, okay. is a terrific little gag, that. It's really nice.
And then he's got a Polaroid camera that shoots a really weird, dodgy laser that doesn't match when it's being fired.
Yeah, yeah.
Into a picture of El Presidente.
And that's again, that's a really nice gag.
Yeah, it is. Well, especially as the photo comes out and they're x-rays.
Yeah.
It's really weird. And then the other one is the signature gun.
Yes.
In the shape of a camera, which Skyfall borrows this, because in Skyfall he's got a signature pistol. There you go.
Sorry, I just took a sip. That was quite an impressive drink of water.
It was. It was mildly sexual. Again, I'll leave that in. and then
but yeah, says, it's a real. And so I remember watching this as a kid and thinking, "Oh, great, it's Q." Like it's that. Obviously, you know, with all the shenanigans around the making, you know, and the various production difficulties, it's nice. It's just nice to see Q. To see Q, nice.
And then he goes, he realises he's going to have to sleep with Q because Pam wants to be on her own. And then as Q removes his trousers, he'll see Q Gardens. then he says, I hope you don't snore, Q. But presumably they had sex. I hope they did.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, because he's just cock-blocked Bond.
Yeah.
So I really, like, if there was just a scene where Bond was a bit more liberal, he just went, oh, well, in for a penny.
Yeah, yeah. Or Q just wakes up in the middle of the night and finds him bumming him.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well,
I have a daydream in this film that if Q was quite the shagger as well. I kind of like that daydream that if Q was up to all sorts as well.
Yeah.
Because like at the end where she gets together, when Lupe gets set up with the president.
Hmm.
I would much rather Lupe just walk into the sunset with Q.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it? Oh, I'd love that. I'd love a spin-off film where Q and Bond get married.
Yeah.
So the world's crying out for it in 2020. But meanwhile, Sanchez is having some businessmen, some Japanese businessmen. One of them called Quang says, you know what, we've been giving you all this money. How about you show us around the factory?
Yeah. And it's awkward because Sanchez refers, obviously this is just a linguistically of its time, but when he refers to talking to the Orientals.
Yes, right, yeah.
About setting up a deal, and it's this, And it, you know, she promises to show them the distribution center and then introduces them to a load of sex workers.
Yeah. She's like, there's a Kids in the Hall sketch where they're having a business meeting like this, and the boss is like, you know, it's been a tough year or whatever, and you've all worked hard. And then he just says, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you.
Thank you, Robert. Okay, gentlemen, as you know, we're very eager to do business with you.
Yeah, yes, we know that.
I'd like to begin the presentation, but first, the whores!
What the hell is going on? It's his way to change everybody's mind.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You've got the classic sight of loads of businessmen sort of kind of like standing around while these women dance around them, kind of going, ooh,
yeah.
Like they've never seen women before.
And it's that the way Japanese businessmen are often presented in American
I'm
films
afraid
as being
so.
that it's not an undercurrent of racism to it.
No.
And it's really nice, like in the Taken Appellum 1-2-3 where they subvert it really nicely, Walter Matthau's been calling them dummies the whole time, and then at the end, thank you, Lieutenant Garber.
Yeah.
And it's so a really funny. It's a really nice rug pull.
Really funny. God, that film's so good. But meanwhile, as Quang gets his way and they're going to have a tour of the facilities, Sanchez goes into his office. He gives El Presidente less money than usual. He says, you were very quiet when I was arrested. And then says, remember, you are only president for life.
Yeah, which again, there are so many lines where you just go, you have to pause it. I need to rewind it to watch it again.
Yeah,
because it's so well written and so brilliantly performed, and the fact that the president looks like Graham Souness is just an added bonus.
He plants his flag halfway through his desk.
Yeah,
but meanwhile,
because we've seen Heller a bit as well, and Heller, who's obviously going to be important in the plot, he looks. He looks like he's sort of playing the wrong person. Like it's a good performance, but he looks like Emilio Estevez is playing Barney Rubble. It's nothing wrong with the performance. It just, he doesn't look like what you think Heller should probably look like.
Yeah. Well, if I was Sanchez, I would constantly, every time he was going to talk to me, I would say, Heller, 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 tell me more. Because it would never get boring. But meanwhile, Bond has disguised himself as a waiter, gone up to the roof, got his signature gun. Oh, first he's put Dentonite toothpaste all around the windows.
Yeah.
And laid a detonator of Lark cigarettes, which he was advertising at the time. You can look up Lark cigarettes adverts with pretty much all the Bonds. I think they were sponsored by them. And then goes up to the roof and he literally says, watch the birdie, you bastard. Literally about to shoot him when ninjas arrive.
And this is, again, I remember this moment being, what the fuck? It's a really good, like, out of nowhere, where is this going?
And one of them's like Spider-Man because he fires a net from his wrist.
Yeah.
And they hit him on the head with a pole and take him away. And he wakes up in a little house and he's tied to the table. And then we see Quang from the meeting. He's actually Hong Kong Narcotics, you bastard.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
When it's interesting because
the
MI5 man is Christopher Neame. Hmm. And I couldn't work out what I recognised him from, and I finally realised he's the baddie in the Doctor Who episode Sharda.
Oh fuck! Yes, he is.
Which is written by Douglas Adams, and I saw it at the BFI recently because they animated that. It's got quite a lot of stuff missing due to industrial action.
Yeah.
It was never completed.
Yeah.
So they've done cartoons, but it was the time, Sharda was the Time Lord prison planet.
Yeah.
So really they should have called it the Nick of Time.
Nice.
But he's brilliant in that. And it was one of those where, and there's a thing that Frank Skinner has taught me, which is if you know something and you think you can remember it, you're not allowed to Google it.
Yes.
That if you know that you never knew it, it's perfectly fine to Google. But if it's just a thing where you're like, what is it? What is it? What is it? That as an exercise in just training your memory, don't give in to the impulse to Google, because your brain will appreciate the challenge. And so this is what I did with Christopher Nieme. And it was probably, I'm glad that we ended up not being able to record this for a few months, because I would have never, I finally got there about a month ago.
But the good thing is when the Quang and his men say to him, how did you get hold of a signature gun? And then that agent comes in, Fallon he's called. And he says, this is the property of Her Majesty's government. How did you get this? And Bond says, piss off. Which is wonderful. And then
that's the great thing, that rather than there being the impulse for a Roger Moore style Bond that's exactly where Bond is at. And he's just been he's had his opportunity to kill Sanchez, just taken away at the very last second.
Yeah.
So it would just be a piss off.
Yeah, but just as they're about to inject him with a serum and then take him back to London, which is Fallon's orders, the room blows up because Sanchez and his militia, led by Heller, arrive and blow the place up. And again, very dark, because Quang's his assistant, girlfriend, wife, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
She gets shot to death.
Yeah, and she's shot in the tits, isn't she? I think it's one of the things that I was reading, that like in terms of the cuts that the BBFC wanted, that it's it's really.
But the dark bit is that when they catch Quang and ask him for information, he swallowed a cyanide pill.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus. And then Sanchez is so angry, he turns back and shoots his dead body.
Yeah. And this is another of those classic bits of Spanish where at some point one of them kind of goes, puta.
Yeah. Yeah. Sanchez says it to his dead body.
And this it's really, because this is a bit where Bond survives this by chance. Mm. There's no skill. This is pure luck.
Yes.
That in this mayhem with all the explosions, the fact that he lives, I mean, he obviously falls unconscious.
Yeah.
But it's there is no Bond using his wiles. It's just it, in terms of the darkness, where you kind of go, well, this is carnage.
My name's Jason Fleming. The More Than My Past podcast will see me talking to a wide range of inspiring people. People who have confronted and overcome addiction or imprisonment or both and turned their lives around.
I did mad things that was hurting myself and hurting other people.
Everybody grows up in a house called normal. Heroin addiction and chaos was my normal.
Some people don't understand the word moderation, and I was definitely one of those people.
The More Than My Past podcast.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, but they find him underneath a pile of bodies, and then he wakes up in Sanchez's house, and then Sanchez says to him,
"He's looking at, is this where he,
yeah,
You go, sorry.
No, you were going to say the fish boy statue.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's disturbing, that is.
Yeah, well, it's sort of, I, in my notes, I've got, it looks like Quentin Crisp or Gargamel. And the thing is, because I can't even remember, I'm like going off the notes rather than like.
It reminds me of, do you remember the, is it Lawrence Harries? He's now Lauren Harries.
Yes, yeah.
When he was a child on Wogan doing his antiques. Reminds me of that, very much. That would be disturbing.
This cost £300.
Oh, yeah. You're a bit weird. Oh, yeah. Time for you to be on national telly. Oh.
In fact, I think Frank Skinner was into, I think he might be on that episode.
Hmm.
Where he sat really polite, and then years later, Wogan interviews them both again.
Oh.
And Frank is incredibly gracious with it, but he said something like, Lauren Harris is saying something, and that Frank was saying he was on the verge of whatever the then James Harris was going to say, that he would just go, me.
So he sees that statue, he goes down to see Sanchez, and then we get my favourite line in any Bond film, where Sanchez says to him,
well, we both had close calls last night.
You were just in time. Things were about to turn nasty.
And it's one of the few bits where Tim Dalton, so like I've done rep with him.
Tim.
I said to Tim Dalton, where the northern accent comes through with the nasty.
And every time he says bloody as well in this, it's northern.
Yeah.
Mm. But then he starts shit-stirring, shit-housing, which I love. Is when he says to them, who were those people? And he says, oh, they were trying to kill you, basically. And then he says, did they say anything? He goes, oh, no, apart from they're expecting a lot of cash from someone arriving in Isthmouth tonight. Because he knows Milton Crest is coming back.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's done very, very well.
And then he says, I used to work for the British government. I know these people. And then Sanchez has kind of checked him over and believes him. And says, you know, please enjoy my house, enjoy my hospitality. And then goes to see Hela. And Hela goes, you won't believe what this guy used to be. And then Sanchez goes, British government? And he goes, how did you know? It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's really, it's nice feeling. And it's like Hela in this scene, he looks like the office bully in a totally different film.
Mm.
Like he looks like he belongs in an office comedy. But it's as all the bits, the tendrils are laid, and it's all. I've worded that incredibly badly.
That's fine, but he then Lupe says to him, "You have to stay, or you'll be killed." He says, "No, I gotta go." So he gets her to say she's going shopping, and she goes off in a speedboat, and he's on the side of the speedboat.
Yeah, and the guard who is meant to be guarding her has a really funny look on his face.
Yeah, he's like, "Oh, like, no, I have like one job."
Yeah, like the director has said, can you look bemused? Mm. And he's kind of gone, is this bemused? I think.
That house is still there. About a year ago, it was listed for sale for a ridiculous amount of money. But it hasn't changed.
It's still got the fish statues.
Still got the fish statues.
Fantastic.
Still got dead keys of cocaine everywhere. so he goes in. This is great bit, because he bursts right into the hotel room, grabs Pam, tells Q to fuck off, basically. Go on.
Yeah.
Takes Pam in the other room, pulls the gun from her garter, sticks it in her face, because he'd seen her the night before as he was about to assassinate Sanchez, doing a deal with Hela, or looking like she was about to. And he says, what's going on? And she says that Hela wanted to do a deal with the US government in exchange for immunity, because he had Sanchez has got some Stinger missiles.
Yeah.
She said, but then when you did that, you fucked it all up.
And because it's obviously all exposition. She's got a really funny soap opera voice as she delivers this exposition. It's all dramatic urgency.
Yeah. But it's good, though, because he realises at that point that he's fucked by being the way he is. But he's single-minded about it, but he fucked up two big operations that night.
Yeah.
So it's quite a nice little moment for him to realise that he's probably being a bit heavy-handed. But
yeah, and she says something like, there's more to this than your personal vendetta.
That's right. Great line.
I really wish he would go, personal vendetta, that's a tautology.
And then Q could come in and say, I've just made dinner with my personal vignetta. I don't know why he'd say that, but I'd like him to. Wearing oven gloves, holding a vignetta.
Oh, have I cock blocked you again, James?
I told you to fuck off.
Oh. Yeah.
So then they then go to the boat at night. They go to the yard at night, where the harbour even. And then Pam pretends to be a harbour master, which I really like, because they're all basically like a woman.
Yeah, you're the harbour pilot? No, I'm his secretary.
Yeah, it's great. And then she just powers the boat into the dock and then runs off. You deal with it. And yeah. It all crashes in. So Sanchez is like, what the fuck's going on? Meanwhile, Bond has snuck in and gone to the decompression chamber and put all of that, because he's taken it out of the bank by now. And
yes.
He's put all of it into the decompression chamber and then fucked off. Well, he's got in the water to have a look. And all of Sanchez then comes to Milton Crest and says, so tell me again what happened when you lost all that money.
And there's a lovely, Bond has done a funny, the way he puts his hands together when he dives in is really like it's someone being taught diving for the first time. He's gone, I've got to do that bit.
Head down, arms out.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's brilliant because when Crest verbally explains what happened with Bond, it does sound ridiculous, which is why it's so funny. Yeah. He's like, a guy came in, he water skied, and Sanchez is like, oh, he water skied. He's like, yeah. And then he flew off, and Sanchez goes, like a little bird.
Yeah. And you would want to say that if Crest could go, yeah, this is the same guy that that put a hook onto your plane, remember? Like,
yeah, remember him? Yeah. But yeah, he does. And then he gets a whisper in his ear, and he takes Crest down, and they found the money. And this is the scene where it got a lot of shit as well. It got a lot of cuts because he says, you steal my money. And then he throws him in the decompression chamber and locks it and then turns it on. And Crest is like, ah, like he's having to watch Spectre again. And then Sanchez axes the pipe and all the air comes out and his head fucking explodes.
It's amazing. And this is a bit that, there was a thing that I'd not register. I don't think it's in the originals. And so having watched this scene again on YouTube, there's a bit in what I presume, there's a bit that I presume was edited out of the original where Crest just says while he's in the chamber, that hurts.
Because he goes,
that hurts. And it's fucking chilling. It's so brilliantly simple. Just a sleazy bad guy just kind of going, that hurts. It really did something. It's like, a Jesus, that's all you need to communicate. And I found it actually blood-curdling, just someone reduced to that kind of level of pleading and is in agony. Because obviously it's a tricky thing to act well. Yeah. And obviously by the end they turn him into, it looks like, just as his head explodes, you know that suit where Vic and Bob are hitting each other and they put like a bucket over Vic's head and bang the bucket with it his head is the shape of the bucket. That's how Crest looks at the end.
It's amazing. And it's horrible. And then they open it up and there's blood everywhere and they say, what should we do with the money? And Sanchez goes, launder it.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Just phenomenal. It's one of those where you want them to, I would love to see that being filmed and them high-fiving at the end. It's just a terrific,
And then he goes back to the Bond.
It's really good.
It's so good. He goes back to Bond's room at his house and we're thinking, oh God, he's not there. This is going to be awkward. And he opens it and then Bond's pretending he's just woken up.
Yeah.
And he hands him a wad of cash and goes, you were right. And then as he's about to leave, Bond goes, oh, it's just one person, was it? He's like, what? Yeah. He goes, oh, it's just that I thought no one would be stupid enough to take you on by themselves. And he's like, starts more seeds of doubt being sown there. And then he says, anyway, get some sleep because in the morning you're coming with us. We're going to the factory. And then as he leaves, Lupe comes in and they have sex.
Yeah. It's nice. Because it's been interesting because at this point, Bond has been trying so hard to get Q and Pam to leave.
Yeah.
It's like he just wants the two of them to get it on.
Yes. Yeah.
And then, it really is like he's got away with his work to go, now I'm going to do Lupe as well.
Might as well. When in Rome. And then Lupe races to their hotel where Q and Pam are getting packed for the fucking fourth time, the amount of times he's told them to go home. And she says, you got to help us. I'm really worried about James. And then and she goes, I love him. And then leaves. And she's like, Pam does that, I love him.
And Q's face, the look on Q's face is one of, not this shit again.
put it away, for God's sake.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he puts his arms around it, which is, with his hands, is a bit like someone with bananas for hands trying to cuddle a small chimpanzee.
Yeah, yeah.
It's horrible. But then we get Bond going in his convoy to the facility, and Pam is renting a plane so she can fly, because she's very good flying.
Yes.
She's very good flying. And Q is dressed as a Mexican bandito. With a sombrero and a comedy big moustache. And he's got a broom, and as a rake. And as he sees him drive past, he opens the rake and tells Pam that he's on his way, and then chucks the rake into a bush and walks off.
Yeah, into a grand ale bush.
Hey. And then they all go to the facility, and she goes in to speak to Joe Butcher, saying that she's a big fan of his, and she's brought loads of money from her small town. And he takes her to his special sex room.
Yeah. It's Wayne Newton, isn't it? And he's really good. Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah, he's terrific in it.
So good in this, because his catchphrase, "Bless your heart." I was going to say, then we're shown how the drug is made, how it's shipped, and I still don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't understand it. One of the things I like is when the Japanese businessmen, or the Orientals, as mm-hmm. they're referred to, when they arrive, he asks them all to put on masks. And yeah. they all do, which in this day and age feels particularly resonant.
It does, doesn't it?
In 2020.
One of them should kick off.
Yeah, yeah. Just one just one Karen in the background.
Yeah. You won't take away my freedom. And David Icke comes in and says, oh, okay, nice. But the plan, it seems to be the idea is you're going to get cocaine, right? You're going to mix it with petrol, run it through a filter, and then have this blobby, wet cocaine full of petrol.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, it's one of those, in terms of suspension of disbelief, like the idea of snorting coke that stinks like a fucking petrol station.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, but apparently that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
And they're all being shown it, and it's all going swimmingly until Dario comes in. And he keeps looking at Bond like he knows him, and then realises he does, and then comes up behind him with a gun on his back. And then
you feel the tension. It's very well done that Del Toro is so menacing that you really have that like, oh no, because they've seen each other before.
Yeah, and then Sanchez even stops talking and looks at him like, well, what's going on? And then Dalton does what he does best, and he does it in The Living Daylights as well. He turns around and delivers a fucking square on headbutt right into Del Toro's face, and then throws fire. Surprisingly, all the petrol in it goes on fire and the entire place starts burning down within about four seconds. I suppose that's the danger of using petrol.
Yeah, yeah. And the Jimmy is very upset about the cost, about the financial implications of this.
I mean, he goes off in a minute brilliantly. The bit where he's like, oh, great.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, he does, yeah.
Well done, Franz.
Yeah, meanwhile, Pam has got her gun out with Wayne Newton.
Yeah,
and it actually says, "Give me the keys." Failing to add, "You fucking cocksucker."
That's right. Yeah, but it's so brilliantly done with Wayne Newton, because he gives her the keys, and then she's like, she goes, and then she's about to leave to lock him in, and then he just again goes, "Bless your heart."
Yeah,
it's really good. It's a lovely nod to the old eccentric things like Diamonds Are Forever. You'll have these little weird characters pop up who are just strange.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of got lost in the wash of Bond over the years, but I like that. So yeah, then Bond gets captured by Dario and his men, and they tie him up, and they're going to drop him into a cocaine mincer.
Yeah, yeah. which is Liberace's.
Have you seen, oh god, there was a video someone posted, it was the intro to his TV show. Oh, I wish I could remember who posted it. And it's him literally playing everything like a piano. He's just like daintily running around his house, and every time there's a bit of piano in the song, he'll play like the sideboard, a dog. At one point he's in a swimming pool that's got piano keys on it, he'll play that. It's amazing.
Fantastic.
So yeah, then they're gonna kill him, and then Sanchez is told that Hela's missing. Yeah. So he goes to deal with that and leaves Dario to kill Bond.
And so even while Bond is being put on the conveyor, he's helping sow the seeds about Hela.
Yeah, because he says, what about Hela and those missiles? If you can't trust... what does he say? If you can't trust Crest, who can you trust?
Yeah,
it's brilliant. And yeah, so he goes off and to go deal with that.
Yeah, and then this is one of the another of many great lines. When you're up to your ankles, you'll beg to tell me everything. When you're up to your knees, you'll kiss my ass to kill you.
Yeah. It's awesome. But Dario is just about to kill him. He's trying to cut the... He's like tied up with like cable tie type thing.
Yeah.
He's trying to cut it, so he'll let go.
Yeah. I had it, the ankles and knees thing, in my head. I don't often have baths rather than instead of showers, but I'm getting into a hot bath, I now kind of go, when I'm up to my knees, I'll kiss my ass to kill you.
But Pam shows up and shoots Dario because he says dead.
And it really, because this is the epitome of when he gets the knife out, the swishy sound, and it's really presented in that ta-da.
Mm-hmm. And she shoots him, and then Bond grabs him, and he goes off on the conveyor and down and into the mincer.
He gets chomped, yeah.
He does get chomped, and he kisses.
And again, Bond. another one where you feel it. It's done again. Yeah. The scream. I must have seen that on I must have seen the unedited version somewhere, because you hear that, from incredibly sinister villain to man screaming in genuine agony.
Yeah, and then she says, Pam says something, and then she says, do you need some help or something? And then he shouts, turn the bloody machine off!
Yeah.
Like he's a really angry man in a pub.
Yeah.
And then they go out, and he does his first Bond gag in the whole film.
Yes.
Where... they're walking around, and then Hela comes out. Sanchez catches Hela loading the Stinger missiles into a boot of a car. And then he says, I was just making sure they're all okay.
Yeah.
And then
it's another great look. It's another great look from Sanchez.
Yeah. And then he comes through a wall, and he's been stabbed to death by a forklift truck.
Yeah.
And Bond says he must have met a dead end.
Yeah. And it's the only one that maybe it's the economy of those, but it did it for me.
Yeah, it made me too. And then we get the excellent, Pam goes off to get in a plane, Bond gets on the back of a lorry off one of the trucks. I mean, it's awesome truck chase.
Yeah, it's one of the, I sort of in my notes, I'd like just written down that it's all just brilliant. It's just a brilliant set piece, and the whole thing, probably 10 or 15 minutes, but it's just brilliant bit after brilliant bit.
And again, as a 12-year-old kid who was used to seeing Roger Moore's stunt doubles more than Roger, love Roger.
But
you get to see Dalton at one point on top of a truck with the camera pointing at him, going at high speed, and he's wafting Pan on in her plane. Because that's right, she drops him from the plane on top of the truck. And he's sort of going, go ahead. And you can see it's him on top of this truck. And that's thrilling as a kid when you think James Bond is doing his own stuff.
She's nicked the money back from Wayne Newton, hasn't she?
She has, yeah.
Because I think, is that the final bless you?
That's right.
When she grabs the, but yeah.
And then he takes over the driving of a truck, and then you get the awesome bit where they're going to fire a Stinger missile at him. And you get that bit where he again double takes, because he squints, like, what's that? And then realises they've got a Stinger, and he's like, oh, fucking hell. So he goes over that very convenient mound.
Yeah.
And puts the whole truck on two wheels.
It's still a brilliant stunt. Like, it's you know, with some of these you look back and you kind of go, oh, that was good for its time. It's still great. It's still really, really good.
Yeah. And then squashes their truck as he goes past. And then eventually catches up with Sanchez, gets on the top of his truck. And then they're fighting on top and it crashes.
And we've seen it because he's kicked the windshield of one of the trucks out, hasn't he, Bond?
Puts it on cruise control.
Yeah, quite Terminator 2.
Yes, yeah. And you also get the bit where Sanchez fires a machine gun at him, and the machine gun bullet ping noises play the Bond theme.
Yeah.
It kind of goes ding, 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 ding. So him and Sanchez crash the truck over the side of the hill, and they're lying there in a state, and Bond kind of crawls out from the wreckage, and then a machete gets put right in his face. And Sanchez has got him. And it's fucking awesome.
It's really good.
And then he says, don't you want to know why? And he looks down and he hits the lighter that they gave him at the beginning. And up he goes.
Yeah, and he should be like, it's just a lighter, I don't understand. He's going, you need to read the inscription. Read the inscription. It is tricky. It's just engraved. You've got to basically hold it. Now give it back. Now you understand.
I want an after-credit sequence of Bond's seance, and they're contacting the spirit of Sanchez, and he can just say, did you read the inscription?
I just
want to know you understood it before you died.
Yeah.
Then I can have closure.
Yeah, because he would be going, you've just shown him a lighter. So he'd be going, is this what, because I smoked?
Oh, Felix lighter. No, not that.
And then I really want, because you want Bond to be like, it's a callback, because we've seen this earlier in the film. It's like a good Edinburgh show. we're collecting for Waverley Care. Put some money in the buckets on the way out. I've been James Bond. Thank you. If you've enjoyed it, please tell your friends. If you haven't enjoyed it, I've been Michael McIntyre. Good night.
Hey. Fantastic. I hope you've used that line.
I think many comics have.
I think they have. then everything blows up. And then...
And again, this another of the ones where the different versions that because obviously it's when he goes up, it's pretty extreme. And I think it's this one where the pain and the distress in the unedited version is stronger.
Yeah, because he shouts, ah, my cojones, really loudly.
He goes, these flames are driving me loco.
Right down the camera again.
Yeah.
He says, "Lawks a lordy, my bottom's on fire." and then we get this after party where Lupe has now got the diamond as a brooch. Yeah. Not as a brooch, as a wrist necklace, what they called
it. Yeah.
Bracelet, thank you. Yeah. And the lizard no longer has a necklace.
Yeah. Is this when we get the phone call from Felix?
Yeah.
Who really has got over the hideous murder of his wife very quickly.
Big time. He's loving it. He's like, I'm going really fishing. It's great. I'm having a lovely time.
Yeah. Really jolly Amcot. I think he may have a job for you.
Yeah. Good God.
And his arm has gone from, they think they can same his arm to, it looks like a really minor break.
Yeah, exactly. He's loving it. I mean, he got his refund back from Thomas Cook. He's loving it.
It must annoy, like, David Hedison in the credits to this. He's like 13th in the credits.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem particular, given that he is the main plot driving device.
He was in North Sea Hijack, for God's sake. Give him some respect. So Lupe kisses Bond, but at the same time, she's going to get together with El Presidente. So that's nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a neat thing. But Pam sees him kissing her.
Yeah. And there's another look from Q, which again is like, again, you syphilitic weasel.
And so Bond jumps over the side into the swimming pool where Pam's standing next to it, crying. Pulls her in, and then we get another callback, because it said earlier, why didn't you wait till you're asked to be kissed? And he says, well, why don't you ask me?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they kiss, and then we get the Patti LaBelle song, If You Ask Me To.
Yeah.
And a winking fish.
Yeah, which there are a couple of things like that. Why don't you ask me? That feels like it's a line from a different film. It feels like that's a rom-com or a 40s screwball comedy. But they've like had it floating around as a bit of dialogue. And similarly with the winking fish eye sculpture, that you kind of going, why is that? What is the significance of that?
It's just a sexy fish.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, one of the cocaine fish from earlier.
Yeah. It does. It really does. It feels like it. And then we close on a winking fish eye sculpture. This is some good shit.
So there we have it. License to Kill.
And it's just brilliant.
It
really, really stands up.
It really does. And it's definitely my favourite. When people ask me what my favourite Bond film is, I say, in my head, it's... The Spy Who Loved Me, because it's like the perfect Bond film.
Yeah, yeah.
But in my heart, it's License to Kill, because I just love it so much.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
And it's just, it's all great. And like, it is one of those things, because Carey Lowell is such a good actress that I'm puzzled that she's not gone on to other films other than Fierce Creatures. Yeah. Which I rewatched on your suggestion from some messages we flagged, and it's because it's obviously it's fraught with disaster.
Yeah.
Then they don't, they just, she disappears for a whole chunk of it at
she
the
does.
End.
And... It's a disaster.
Yeah. It's a frustrating when there are promising things in it, but you can just tell it's a mess.
Yeah. It's a good idea. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
but yeah, so she's so great that other than, yeah, you wouldn't guess from that film. You would look at this film and think she's going to go on to be doing better than having a horrendously acrimonious divorce from Richard Gere.
I was going to say, yeah, that's sadly her legacy in that regard. Right, I'm going to ask you some questions now.
Are you ready? Yes, fire away.
Okay, what's your favourite Bond film, Steve?
It is now this. Partly because having watched it probably three or four times this year and really loved it every time. Mm. It's one where you kind of go, oh no, fuck me, it's just brilliant. I've sort of forgotten how good a film it is. Yeah. And it's partly, there are ones that I need to rewatch that I haven't seen. So I think when I did this a few years ago, I think I'd said, You Only Live Twice. Yes. And I've rewatched that since I said that, and it isn't as good as I remember it being. I think I'd originally said, like, the fact that it was written by Roald Dahl blew my mind as a kid, so it had stuck in my brain. And it's still decent, but it's just not as good as I remember it. And then I haven't watched Live and Let Die in a long time. I used to love that. But just in terms of a brilliant film. Yeah. This is now my favourite Bond film.
I think I know the answer to this. What's your least favourite?
Well, it is now Spectre. I only watched Spectre recently. So I think the last time I'd said Quantum of Solace, and it is now Spectre. And there's a weird thing that's happened with that. If you compare Bond and Mission Impossible, the amount that they push Bond in the UK, like, it becomes this, like, you know, you have to see these films in the cinema. They are cultural touchstones. They are delaying the release of the new one to the fucking ruination of a lot of cinemas in the UK. And they're trying to treat it as this big, important thing. But their hit rate for a thing that gets this much hype, their hit rate is appalling.
Yeah.
That's true. How many of these new films have been crap. And so I watched Spectre during lockdown. And I've heard quite a few of the guests on this podcast share the opinion. It's just a really bad film. It's got nothing. There's no fire or magic or anything. It's weird to watch a Bond film and feel bored.
Yes.
Even some of the naffer ones, there is something to enjoy, or you can enjoy it. You can enjoy the ridiculousness of it. But whereas all the Mission Impossible films are thrilling, exciting, emotionally engaging, and it feels like they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, it does a bit at times, I'm afraid. Can you give me your made-up Bond film title?
So I re-listened to my previous one to remind myself of Have You Been Missold, PPK?
That's right.
Was my one last time. Because it becomes quite a challenge. Even before we booked this in, I was like, I'm just going to write down ideas just in case I get invited back. Mm-hmm. And it becomes like a fucking really, you know, there are days where I should have been reading bedtime stories to my kids, and I was going to try to go fight. And so, after much deliberation, my suggested Bond title is The Wolfer Boy.
The Wolfer Boy.
Yeah, where he would
instead
be
of the
done.
Water boy, yes.
Yeah, yeah, and so it would be done. Like, my name is James Bond in 007, License to Kill. Give me a martini, shaken, not stirred. Hey, Walther boy.
Okay, great. So Bond is full of silly names such as Holly Goodhead, Plenty O'Toole, Penelope Smallbone. Can you give me your best Bond lady name?
I think last time I had Ivanka Dokov.
That's right.
Which is
high up there, I must say.
Yeah. So I like a cock in me. So Isla is her first name. Uh-huh. Hi, I like a cock in me. Again, I've written...
That's cock in me.
Yeah. Good evening, Miss Cock in me. Again, I've written too many of these. That's my choice. Mm. Others that made the shortlist in these notes that I haven't looked at for a while were Anita Busternut, I Wrist You Off, so Iris Chewoff.
Fucking hell.
I quite liked Kitty Larisse.
Right.
Hi, I'm Kitty Larisse.
Yeah,
or,
yeah,
yeah. Ménage à toi.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Or Marie Shagkill.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That is a good one.
I've also, I'm trying to, yeah. Some of these, this is the, it's a make, because like you write some of them and you go, no, that sounds like a carry-on name or that sounds like a porn star name.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, cat flaps. So, but yeah, but my official choice is I like a cock in me.
I like a cock in me. Okay. I like a cock in me. You are Q. What gadgets would you give Bond in this film?
I was thinking about the gadgets I would create for this film. I would either have a robot sex dollar. I'll say that again. A robot sex. Oh, fucking hell. A robot sex doll Della.
Right. Yeah.
So that Felix, he can give it to Felix at the end and go, I've made you a little something. Or I would like a device where Bond could just be the manta ray throughout the entire film.
Like a cheat code you put into a game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, like a mod for like that goat game where he just gets to, and no one comments on it the whole time. Where they're just going, "Is it what that? Were you just chatting to that manta ray?"
What manta ray? And finally, who would you have as James Bond next?
Now, when we did this a few years ago, I'm quite pleased that when we did this a few years ago, I said Jack Loudon, who is now, since we've done that, is now quite high up in the betting. So I would stick with him. I think he's really, really great.
I'm just looking him up again.
So I'd, at the time, I only knew him as the fighter pilot in Dunkirk.
Yeah, that's why I've seen him. Yeah.
And he's been in a few other things, but I saw him in a Don Mar Warehouse production of Measure to Measure, and he was absolutely brilliant in that. And he's also in Fighting With My Family, the wrestling one. He's really good in that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But he's got that vulnerability to him. He's a phenomenal actor. It's interesting because there are other actors there who are more immediately more menacing. But I think he's got... Yeah, I really, really like him. I really rate him. So I would go with him. I think now that they're going to make, you know, obviously they're doing the thing in the new film that there will be a black 007,
yeah,
which seems to be their maneuver around making Bond black.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I thought, but before I was aware they were doing that, Alfred Enoch.
Oh yes, yes,
is absolutely brilliant, and I think because obviously Idris Elba being too old, but if they were going to go for a black Bond, I think Alfred Enoch, and I don't understand why he's not yet. He's such a brilliant actor, and he's the sort of person that I would presume would be getting an Oscar nomination in coming years. I saw in 2010, I saw there was a play called Red, which is about Mark Rothko. And Alfred Molina played Rothko. And in the 2010 staging, Eddie Redmayne played his assistant. And then when they revived it a year or two ago, it was still Molina playing Rothko, but Alfred Enoch was now playing the assistant. And it felt like this is one of those roles where it's a smaller supporting role, but actors who are going to be amazing and going to be incredibly successful will go on to do it. So Alfred Enoch, I wouldn't mind. Matt Smith would be a brilliant Bond, I think. I don't know if it's ever been... I don't think... I mean, there's no way that they're ever going to go for a Doctor Who and a Bond.
No.
But I saw him in American Psycho, and he was brilliant in American Psycho, and he was really good in Mapplethorpe. There's a film about Robert Mapplethorpe where he plays Mapplethorpe. I think he's got enough range that he would be good. I'd still... Jack Loudon's still my number one. There's also a bloke in the new... in Tenet, called Jack Cutmore Scott, who is another of these ones who I think could be, you know, there's obviously the names that are highly in the betting, but if you wanted an outside one who sort of fits, he's 33 at the moment, so it could work. But Jack Cutmore Scott's really good, but still, Jack Loudon, and then I can go. 3 years ago, I said it. I picked him.
Well, brilliant. Well, Steve, thank you so much for travelling to Isthmus.
Yes, I've been singing "So Here It Is, Abbey Isthmus" in my head for far too long.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. It's good to speak to you again.
You too.
Bye-bye. Man thinks, cause he rules the earth, he can do with it as he please. And if things have changed soon, he will. Oh man, he's invented his due. First step was touching the moon. Now there's a woman on my blood. She just sit there as the night goes through. She say, who gonna take away his license to kill? Now they take him and they teach him, and they give him for life, and they set him on a path where he's bound to.
If you're a fan of all things geeky, you're going to love Con Sessions, a brand new podcast by comedian Matt Hinton and myself, Beck Hill, where we interview your favourite cult heroes at Comic-Cons all across the world. We've got stars from Star Wars, Harry Potter, The Walking Dead and more. Make sure you tune in soon to Con Sessions. Great Big.